You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, June 6th, 2025. Coming up, of course, it being Friday, our Week in Review panel. We will have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel here, Chicago journalist Jennifer Schulze, and in place of Mark Jacob, we will have Chicago radio show host Joan Esposito joining us. I was on her show in Chicago on Wednesday, talking all about Wisconsin news and politics, and she's going to join us as part of our panel here. And then we'll have our new weekly sports segment in our next hour when Civic Media's Mike Clemens joins us. We'll talk about the Red Hot Brewers, that very exciting finish to game one of the NBA Finals yesterday, and Aaron Rodgers finally making it official. The newest bromance. We don't have the Trump-Elon Musk bromance anymore. We now have the one between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. And how long is that one going to last before it blows up in sensational fashion? And will it do so before or after week five when the Steelers and the Packers play? We'll talk to Mike Clemens about all of that, coming up around 8:30 or so here. So that's all what's coming up. Brittany Merlot is standing by with a forecast as well. But first, it's time for the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. This is something that's done statewide across the network four times a day, where you can either win $100 cash or a pair of Brewers Club level tickets. And each entry puts you into the drawing for one of the grand prizes, a weekend getaway, one in the Wisconsin Dells area, one in Door County, some gas money to get there as well. Each time we do this, there's a different keyword that you need to text us through the Civic Media app. So be sure you've got that app downloaded from Apple, Google, wherever. And then when you're in the app, just go to one of the stations on the app and use the text button. And that way you can hear, or I'm sorry, use the text button. That way you can send us this hour's keyword. And this hour's prize is $100. And the keyword is warm. W-A-R-M. Warm. It's got to be spelled correctly. And just send the keyword, nothing else. You have until the end of the hour to text us the keyword warm. Your next chances to play will come at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., different keywords each time. Again, for $100, this hour's prize, the keyword to text us is warm. Let's see if there's any warmth in the forecast by turning to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who's back with us after there we go. Let's see, we got Alicia putting on YouTube. Welcome back, Brittany. I hope you're feeling better soon. Robin Tigerson says, Brittany, I hope and pray you feel better soon as well. So let's just say you were missed, girl.
Oh my gosh, I miss you guys so much too. Thank you so much for all the love and the good wishes. I needed it this week. It was a rough week, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear
I'm on
that.
The mend. I'm
all
on
right.
The mend.
Good. Well, I kind of feel like we are from a weather standpoint in terms of, you know, that Canadian wildfire smoke earlier this week was just so bad. And I'm so glad that it appears to have moved on. But now we've got a weekend that appears to be rather, is unsettled the right word?
Yeah, that's a pretty good word to use, I'd say.
Okay.
We've got a lot going on and off, spotty showers, chances for small storms all throughout the weekend. So I'm going to try my best to time it all out for you. So right now, this morning, we're waking up to the mid-50s north, mid-60s south. We're looking at more clouds than sunshine out there, some light drizzle pushing through central areas. We've got some scattered showers moving into far northern areas. And that's going to stay the case through this morning and into the afternoon. Kind of those spotty showers staying far north. And those could turn into some small storms later this afternoon, staying in the northern half of the state. Now, in central parts and further south, you're still looking at drizzle chances possible on and off, or some clouds kind of taking away your sunshine. But otherwise, highs today kind of comfortable, mid-60s north to mid-70s south. And then tomorrow, we've got this system moving in, and it's going to give us a high-pressure system early, so some sunshine to start the day tomorrow. But then some more scattered midday showers are possible, especially south. Highs will hit the low to mid-70s, so still staying comfortable, a little bit cooler on Saturday. And then we've got a front moving in overnight and into early Sunday morning. Now this is going to move in northwest around midnight, tomorrow night. Showers and storms work their way through the state early in the morning, making their way into southeastern areas by Sunday afternoon. And some of those could be on the stronger side, but it's also going to give us a lot more rainfall, moderate rainfall there, where we could see up to an inch or so in places north, maybe a quarter of an inch to a half an inch in places south. But of course, a damp, darker, dreary kind of weekend, low 70s on Sunday statewide. And that damp, dreary weather continues into our Monday too, with light rain likely. But I don't want to end it on such a sad note. I hate, you know, dampening people's weekends plans. So as we move into next week, it does dry out and it does warm up. So everyone wanting the summer temperatures, they're around the corner still.
That's great, because I mean, right now, after all that love we just gave you, they're turning on you already. Here's Tony. Tony says, geez, first day back and you give me storms on National Donut Day.
Oh, the donuts will make it better.
Tony, you can eat the donuts indoors, buddy. Yes, you can do it that way. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. Cloudy, a few sprinkles, 59 degrees. I was busy on my birthday yesterday mowing two big yards and had a birthday pizza at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock. He said the bank in Tigerton had a birthday greeting at the front in the street there. Says that his Uncle Randy had an 8-track tape of Convoy. Smokey and the Bandit was a great movie with all that CB talk. We mentioned D-Day in our last segment, and he says World War II, that was a true American hero's generation, amazing people that went through the Great Depression and World War II. And then he says, thank you, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, for putting a birthday greeting for me on her Facebook wall. It was a great birthday, and it was our pleasure to add to those greetings on your birthday post there that Kristen put up for you, Rob. So again, thanks for being part of our radio family. And
yes, happy birthday, Rob. I'm so sorry that I missed it, and it sounds like you had a wonderful day and you deserve that.
He does, and he acknowledges that we do need the rain as well. So we will get through the weekend on all this. You keep feeling better, and we'll hope to see you on Monday.
Thank you so much. You guys have a good weekend.
Yep. See you. See you later. There's Brittany Merlot with a little weather update for us at 7:13 on this Friday, with a reminder again, our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Keyword for this hour is warm, W-A-R-M, and it's worth $100. We're going to pull one of those texts at random and give you that prize, and you'll be in the running for the grand prizes too. Just looking over at the text line here, all the folks that are sending in the keyword, and interspersed in there is Tom from Jackson saying it's great to hear Brittany again. Best wishes to her. And I have got to hand it to one of our folks who takes issue with a lot of what we say now and then, and that of course would be Mark in Sussex. And I want to get to just the right, I want to read the text just so. Because we did talk about all the money that Elon Musk put into getting Donald Trump elected. And I said that, yes, it did make a difference. And Mark from Sussex on the text line says, please, Harris, I have to clean this up, Harris wasted over $1 billion in 3 months. How easily libs forget that? And then 10 minutes later, he writes, no comeback. And, well, on that one, I can plead guilty because I wasn't looking at my text window, Mark. But the fact of the matter is, Mark, I don't have a great comeback for you. I don't. I don't like that Elon Musk could spend $300 million, but I also don't like how the Democratic presidential campaign raised $1 billion and how they used it. And not just how they used it during the campaign. But what always bothers me is campaigns and parties, they always spend down to zero. And I understand the thought behind it is, you know, well, you don't want to leave anything on the table. You want to run all the way through the finish line. I get that. I get that sentiment. But this is the only time you can raise the money, and it's not the only time you need it. And if there's one thing, and I can only speak for, you know, Democratic circles, I'll let somebody else speak for Republican circles. Democrats need more year-round investment, year-round organizing, year-round messaging than ever before. And there's still too many people that think, well, all those text messages that we sent to raise money before Election Day, we'll just keep sending those texts out. And I'm still getting those texts. And I'm not sending a dime in. I haven't been for a long time anyway. I keep getting the texts just so I can see what they're saying. But I tell you, I get on my soapbox about this all the time. So, Mark, you raise a good point. We can definitely do an autopsy on how the Harris-Walz campaign spent their money. But it was their money. It wasn't Elon Musk taking advantage of all the loopholes and putting money into places. It's wild now, thanks to Citizens United and thanks to the Wisconsin legislature. We still have these things called maximum donations where, and I don't remember the maximum numbers anymore, so I'm plucking this number out of thin air. Okay, I'm going to give the Kreitlow campaign $10,000 because that's what the maximum is. But I'm going to give the party $1 million. And I'm going to tell them I expect it to be, you know, done on the Kreitlow campaign. And theoretically, if there's a paper trail, somebody could be prosecuted for it, but it never, ever happens. And so this whole system is broken so badly. And the way certain parties deal with the money that they raise is broken so badly. I've got nothing good to say about any of it. So my point still stands about how no one person, the world's richest man, should not be able to put this much money into political campaigns. But Mark in Sussex is also right that we really have to take issue with the way that our money is used, no matter who we are. If we gave it to Donald Trump, if we gave it to Kamala Harris, if we gave it to a party, if we gave it to a group, I don't know that anybody feels like they're getting what they can for their investment. Which leads me to a pledge drive. We're currently doing one at Up North News. We do one every quarter because, like lots of other organizations, we rely on donations of all sizes to get things done. There are some big ones out there. There are some mid-sized ones out there. And there's all kind of small dollar ones, too, that I appreciate. And I appreciate it because when I helped start Up North News, initially the mailing address was for a Courier newsroom, you know, cubicle somewhere in New York City or Washington, D.C., I forget what. And I said, no, that's not going to do. Nobody's going to want to send us mail that has to be rerouted from New York or D.C. So I went down to the Chippewa Falls post office. I said, could I have a P.O. box, please? And they said, here you go. Here's the key to number 27. So P.O. box 27 in Chippewa Falls, 54729, is where we have been collecting, you know, little 10 and 25 and 50 and the occasional $100 donation for, you know, these past 5.5 years. And I'm so grateful for every one of them. A lot of times they come with just a little note, like what you do, keep doing what you're doing. Occasionally we get the not so nice email. I don't think any have come from Mark in Sussex yet, but Mark, you can send a note there too to P.O. box 27. And just want to say, if you like what we're doing, again, we are separate from Civic Media, separate entity all the way here. Love the partnership. But if you want to support Up North News, that's one way to do it. The easier, faster way would be to go on the website. And there's a way up top there to support Up North News that way and support Courier Newsroom as well. We appreciate it all. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is standing by, as is Joan Esposito, Jennifer Schulze. We will talk about all the week's headlines, starting with the bromance breakup. Coming up right after this, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest. Keyword this hour is warm. So again, WARM, use your Civic Media app and send us that keyword warm Before the end of this hour, again, Brewers baseball against San Diego. Coverage begins at 6:35 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. All right, let's get to one of the best parts of doing this job is every week I've got this wonderful Week in Review panel that includes former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, as well as Chicago journalist Jennifer Schulze and Joan Esposito, who is an afternoon host at WCPT. Hello, panel. How are y'all?
Hi, good morning.
Doing
Happy
well.
Friday, yeah. Everybody.
All right. Here, I want to get all these promos right. Joan Esposito, live, local, and progressive, is heard weekdays from 2 to 5 on WCPT Radio in Chicago. Find the links over at heartlandsignal.com. And then, of course, Jennifer's newsletter on Substack is called Indistinct Chatter. Go to substack.com/@newsjennifer. And then there's that Jim Santel program on Saturdays, Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Learn more at civicmedia.us. And Jim, I guess we'll start with you this time simply because, once again, there are court cases in the news. And we're going to start with the one that involves Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call taking a victory lap, and deservedly so. Because, again, among the many, 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 many lawsuits designed to say to Donald Trump, you can't do that, this latest one deals with AmeriCorps, which would have cut a whole lot of community jobs in Wisconsin. What happened there?
Absolutely. So what we have is a judge. This is a district court judge. This is not coming out of the Supreme Court. We've got a federal judge just yesterday who says that stopping the Trump administration from blocking the dismantling of AmeriCorps. I know that's double negatives here. Basically, AmeriCorps gets a new lease on life. And of course, this is this independent federal agency that facilitates public community service opportunities. And so it's a big deal. You've got a judge basically saying that the president can't do this. Here's one of the pieces that the judge writes. So it says, any harm the defendants might face if the agency actions are enjoined pales in comparison to the concrete harms the states and the communities served by AmeriCorps programs have suffered and will continue to suffer. That's basically a balancing of the interests by this particular judge. It is a big loss for the administration. It is a big win, again, for attorneys general throughout the United States of America. And AmeriCorps gets another lease on life. Here's the other piece of this, as we're always seeing these days, which is likely this will go up on appeal, could end up before the Supreme Court one day. But at least for now, AmeriCorps and all the good things that it does still intact by virtue of what Judge Deborah Boardman, Federal District Court in Maryland, has done just this past week. It's significant.
It is, as is the other ruling, a federal judge ruling late yesterday, Jennifer, that temporarily blocks the Trump administration's effort to prevent Harvard from enrolling international students. I don't know what Donald Trump's track record is on all these lawsuits. I believe he's still, well, it's a mixed record, shall we say, but it's certainly not one where he can get away with everything, but the question becomes, how many of these rulings that say you can't do that is he going to ignore, and will there ever be any consequences for it?
Somebody did an analysis, I believe it was just last week, that found that Trump had lost in federal court 92% of the time, so he is losing. The question is he following the rulings, like you said, and you know, is anything actually changing? You keep reading these stories about how such agency was ordered to rehire people, but they haven't been rehired. Another agency was ordered to pay those grants, but they didn't pay the grants. It seems to me that we don't know how all of this is being dealt with, actually. We see the headlines, setback for Donald Trump. But how is that actually being implemented, if it's being implemented, is really, I think, confusing and hard to keep track of.
Well, yeah, because you even have cases, you know, Joan, we've had people that have where courts have said they should be, you know, freed, or they should at least get their due process. And instead, they're put on planes and sent out of the country. And I don't know how much longer that goes on before there's some kind of a breaking point with a president who is ignoring the courts.
Well, you know, I don't know if he did this as a sop to people like us who can point to something where he complied. But there was a man from Guatemala who had been shipped back to Guatemala, who's now been returned to the United States. Now, when they returned him via charter flight, that must have been pricey. They took him into custody immediately, so he's still not out of the legal woods, but they did return him. And I was thinking to myself when I read this, okay, why this guy? You know, they've been fighting to the death over Abrego Garcia, but this guy from Guatemala gets admittedly wrongly shipped to Guatemala, and then suddenly they're chartering a flight to bring him back. So I don't know. I mean, it's really hard. There are so many court cases, and it's really hard to do the follow-up on, is he going to comply? Is he going to comply? Because as you guys all know, you know, there's time for an appeal. The judge has to decide, you know, what action needs to be taken, you know, prior to the appeal, or maybe we're going to wait for the appeal. It's really hard. I find it hard to track the follow-up to these cases until, you know, somebody really focuses in on one particular person and follows that person. You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, is he going to comply? Maybe when he feels like it. I don't know.
But so often they just wait for the attention to die down, Jim. And I've got under a minute, so I'm not going to ask you to expound on this too much. But again, because of the speed that courts have to use, which is deliberate, you know, we hear about these setbacks, but we don't usually know that there's any big follow-up. So let me ask you about that on the backside, because we're up against the break here. And we've just been whetting your appetite for the main event. Oh my goodness, the biggest breakup in, I mean, it was WrestleMania for politics, I guess. Trump versus Musk still is, but I mean, what does it actually mean to the rest of us and that big bloated boondoggle of Trump's? We'll talk about that on the other side. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Still ahead, we'll talk sports with Civic Media's Mike Clemens, and we'll be visited in just after the 8 o'clock news by Dr. Kristen Lyerly about comments made by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss telling a room full of doctors, you need to do your research. I'm sure that went over really well. All right, let's get to it. We've got a great panel here. Jennifer Scholze, Joan Esposito, Jim Santel all here. Mark Jacob is off this week. And where do we begin? Let me describe how it all unfolded for me. I work here for, you know, a couple hours after the show, and was starting to get the little things about Elon Musk saying this bill's got to be killed, and Donald Trump saying, oh, I'm really disappointed in Elon. And then I stepped away for a while, ran some errands and things. I come back to the desk, and it's like, basically my computer was almost on fire. There was just so much going back and forth between, you know, accusing Trump of, you know, being with Jeffrey Epstein, and Trump saying, let's cancel the SpaceX contracts, and him saying, fine, we'll decommission the rocket and strand your astronauts, and other people saying, let's send Elon Musk back to Africa. And Jennifer, I'll start with you. It was all delicious in a way. And then afterwards, the aftertaste is like, wait, what does it really change? And it's a very unsatisfying answer in the beginning, I think.
I'm not sure what it really changes. It remains to be seen if these two will patch things up or not. And the implications, I think, could be pretty enormous for Musk, for example. I mean, he has a lot of money in government contracts. Trump could take those away. That would have a significant impact. He could, I mean, Trump could really go after Musk in a big way, and Musk could really go after Trump in a big way by funding, you know, challengers to Republicans in the 2026 midterms. I thought, though, my takeaway was, what a disgusting bunch of people to have that much power. I mean, I've thought that for a long time about both of them, but it was just an eye into... They both have so much power over so much, and watching that unfold was nauseating.
It was so both things, Joan. It was nauseating, and yet it was kind of the you love to see it. It's the meme with Jon Stewart and the box of popcorn and everything else. Just there was just a lot of feels yesterday.
A lot of feels. You know, one of the things I said on the air yesterday was, you know, what they say in politics, there are no friends, there are no enemies, there are only interests. This is a perfect opportunity to try for us to try to get some benefit out of Elon Musk, even if we don't bring him into the fold, which I think is never going to happen. But, you know, have him go ahead and threaten. Laura Loomer posted something that she'd been on Capitol Hill talking to legislators, and they just didn't know whether to throw in with Musk or to throw in with Trump. And Musk reposted that and said, you know, Trump's going to be gone in 3.5 years. I'm going to be here for the next 40 years.
Well, unless he goes up in one of his rockets and it goes boom. I mean, he's
Well, you know, and Trump could die while, you know, choking on a McDonald's hamburger,
right,
too.
But
I think anything that he does that causes pain for Donald Trump is a plus. It's a win, and I'll take it.
So, Jim, with all of the back and forth, there were threats to cancel contracts because, again, Donald Trump thinks he can unilaterally do pretty much anything. And meanwhile, excuse me, people are looking at Elon Musk like, hey, I think you overstayed your visa back in the day. Maybe you can be deported. From a legal standpoint, even, there was a lot that you could decide to juggle and examine further.
Sure, absolutely. And it harkens back to those early days when all of us looked at this relationship and said, this will not last. And sure enough, we were all right. Everybody was right about that. But it goes to this larger issue, which is you think about all of the legal things that have followed in the wake of, I don't refer to it as DOGE because it's not a department,
no,
the Musk team doing all these things, the damage that he has caused in an unofficial capacity, not only thousands of people losing their jobs, bringing down agencies that provide good things for the American public. And now you walk away from it, and we're now focusing upon this spat, which is more than that, between people, neither of whom is a serious person. Elon Musk is not a serious person. Donald Trump is not a serious person. They are not committed to what government should do for people. And it is shocking. We should be stunned by the fact, yes, indeed, that now they're at odds with each other. But in the wake of what? In the wake of a coming through again with a chainsaw, with a wrecking ball, use your metaphor, and note that once again, the result of this relationship, bad from the start, is that our government is diminished today, and we are all diminished by that.
Oh my goodness, yes. And Jennifer, I was looking at the text line, and here's one from Dan. Seeing Trump and Musk arguing would be like watching an episode of The Real Housewives screaming at each other. Don't care. They're just wagging the dog and using news oxygen. And that gets us into the newsroom debate about this, because on one of the cable channels, Jake Tapper was just beside himself reading every one of them and every one of the tweets and the posts and everything. And meanwhile, over on MSNBC, which you'd think would be reveling in it, you had Nicole Wallace, who was actually trying to kind of keep her eye on the ball in terms of, you know, the real threats to due process and things like that. And if you're in the news business, I'm going to emphasize the business of it. Again, it's a weird tightrope to walk of how much exposure you give to the circus without losing sight of what's really happening, Jen.
And the New York Times this morning, the front page is screenshots of all these tweets, you know, the huge page. And I think you can do both. You can look at the circus and you can talk about the actual impacts of the circus, the potential for Musk yesterday threatened not to send a rocket up to the International Space Station to get the astronauts. That would be serious. You know, Trump is threatening to take away Elon Musk's contracts. I mean, I'm okay with that myself, but I mean, that would be serious for him. Elon Musk's car company, Tesla, suffered a huge stock loss yesterday with all of the chaos. So there are lots of impacts. But yes, it is juicy. It's entertaining. You know, as AOC said, the girls are fighting. Someone else on social media had a meme that said alien versus predator.
Yep.
You know, and somebody else said alien versus sexual predator. I mean, you know, people are going to get a lot of mileage out of it. But at the end, again, I come back to the fact that these two have been in charge of the government together. I've called Musk co-president. for 4+ months. And what, like Jim said, what they have done to the country and to the world. I mean, there are children dying in Africa because must stop the funding for PEPFAR. I mean, it is a, the consequences are so grave that I have to not let myself get too carried away with today's soap opera.
We've certainly had those discussions here, both from an Up North News standpoint and a Civic Media standpoint. Joan, from a radio standpoint, when you take callers, it's again, how much fun do you have with it, basically, you know, because the girls are fighting, as they like to say, versus not feeling like you're being used, you know, we're watching the monkeys while, you know, somebody else is picking your pocket.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a sort of a decision that, Pat, I'm sure you do the same thing. I kind of feel it out and make these decisions on the fly. After initially reporting some of the first back and forth, I told my audience, I said, you know, I'm not going to be doing this all afternoon. I am not going to be completely watching this banter. We've got other stuff to do. We've got other people to talk to. And then I had a great interview. And at the end of the interview, I said, okay, I can't help it. I have to tell you what happened in the last few minutes. Because that was the Laura Loomer thing, because that's what I was thinking. There are a lot of people in elected office right now at the federal level who are sweating this out. Because, you know, on the one hand, you've got this, when you had Trump's anger and Musk's money paired together, mm-hmm. that was a 1-2 punch that you couldn't fight. But now, do you go with the angry guy who will try to find some kind of revenge, or the guy who potentially could give you enough money to sail to re-election? That's going to be a tough one. That's, yeah. I think, an interesting story.
Lots of people are caught in the middle. Jim, not the least of them are the, you know, the various attorneys. And we've already seen instances where, you know, lawyers have either been let go or have left rather than deal with all of this. A lot of it is not at the feet of Trump so much as Pam Bondi, the attorney general. And I saw a note, I think early this morning, about, once again, this is another effort to get Pam Bondi disbarred in the state of Florida, which has been unsuccessful before, probably will be again. But they're bringing it up to make the case. I think they just want to keep it out there that an attorney general is not supposed to be the president's personal yes. attorney and political hench person. And that's exactly what Pam Bondi's doing.
And that is a break of tradition from, with the exception of Trump one, of every single administration. I worked for 9 different attorneys general during my time with the Department of Justice. In each one of them, the attorney general would consistently say arm's length with the White House. So dramatic that when I was U.S. attorney, the instruction was, you get any call from the White House, you report it right away back to Maine Justice. You do not respond to those phone calls. Now you've got our attorney general, the chief federal law enforcement officer for this nation, talking about how the Department of Justice works for, not the American people, not in support of the Constitution, but we are supporting the President of the United States of America, and we're terminating those folks and suspending them if, in fact, they don't go to that proposition in court and out of court. It is a complete turning on its head of how the Department of Justice is supposed to work. And it can work in bad ways too, not only supporting the president, but some real injustice out there when it comes to taking all your cues from who it is the president wants prosecuted and not. We've already seen that investigations. It is dangerous at the highest levels.
Today, Democratic state attorneys general are going to seek to block Trump's proposal for a sweeping overhaul of U.S. elections. It's a case that's going to test a constitutional bedrock, the separation of powers. These top law enforcement officials from 19 states have filed a federal lawsuit after Trump signed an executive order in March. They're going to argue its provisions would step on states' power to set their own election rules and that the executive branch has no such authority. Jim, obviously Josh Call is a part of that. I'm sure that's not going to sit well with Ann Jacobs, who chairs the Wisconsin Elections Commission, either, that there needs to be, you know, states were given the ability to write their own election rules. Donald Trump doesn't get to write them for the state.
Exactly right. It's a real simple answer, Mr. President. Take a look at your Constitution. Oh, that's right. You don't take a look at it.
I don't know if I'm supposed to or not.
Right. But James Madison said the times, place, circumstances of how we do elections in America, where do those go? Those are reserved to the states. And that's the reason why California does things differently than we do in Wisconsin, different in Illinois, other places. That's reserved to the states. It is not a federal issue. And of all the branches of government, the president is the one that has nothing to do with these kinds of things. It is a matter for the Wisconsin Election Commission, the Illinois Election Commission. They're the ones who do that. It's in the Constitution. This should once again be easy for a federal judge to look at and say in a two-page order, you're out of luck once again, Mr. President, can't do this. And we'll go down this road once again of seeing whether or not he complies with it. The rule of law issue, the constitutional crisis that we are in right now adds more fuel to that fire and maybe ultimately ends up at the Supreme Court. This is the loop we're in right now. This should not be a difficult decision.
It shouldn't be, and yet it is. Amicus, a law review, can be heard live on Saturdays with Jim Santel, 9 to 11 on civic media stations all around Wisconsin. Jennifer Schulze's newsletter is on Substack, Indistinct Chatter. Search for @NewsJennifer. And, of course, you've got Joan Esposito live, local and progressive on WCPT in Chicago weekdays from 2 to 5 p.m. That there is our Week in Review panel. Some folks will be sticking around, and they're going to do a little overtime work for us talking about this week's issues. For the rest of you, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Coming up next, in 1 hour, Matt and Air on Air, Jane and Greg will be along, and this morning's guest in the 10 o'clock hour is Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media, founder of the Recombobulation Area, and of course, their segment every morning at 10:50, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, which we could say about yesterday. Yesterday shouldn't have been a thing, but it was, and so our panel sticks around for a little extra time on that, and we'll talk about Where does the bill go from here? Because, again, this all started because Trump's, you know, big bloated boondoggle is sitting in the Senate. It's going to get changed. Will it pass or not? And that's what Musk and Trump were fighting over. Jennifer, right now, again, it's only a prediction, but, I mean, where does this go for Senate Republicans? What are they going to end up doing either by July 4th or by some other date?
I think it depends a lot on what kind of uproar is generated in the states where a lot of these critical Republican votes reside. You know, like Susan Collins, she might be somebody who, you know, is getting a lot of blowback.
I think she's deeply concerned. She's deeply concerned. My goodness.
But I think that one of the tells is that they are, a lot of the Republicans are relying on talking points that are, I'll be generous here, untruthful.
Yes.
As I said in the break, Oklahoma Senator James Lankford was on CNBC yesterday during a live interview, and he said, oh, well, it's no big deal. No one's going to lose Medicaid. They're all going to go to private insurance. Unreal. That is absolutely not true. Mm-hmm. It is not true. And the two hosts of this program just went on to the next question. But that's the kind of thing that's happening out there where they're not being honest about what the bill does. And they're really reaching for some serious lies about what they say it will or won't do. And I think in the next week or so, how that all plays out is going to have a big impact on whether they can get away with voting for something that really does a lot of terrible things to a lot of people.
By the way, breaking news just coming in out of Maine. Susan Collins is deeply concerned about the way her husband is making scrambled eggs this morning and not keeping them in the pan long enough. Joan, look, I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm just saying that if you go talk to people on the street and if you ask a lot of people the difference between Medicaid and Medicare, you're going to get a lot of blank stares. It's mm-hmm. just not something a lot of people think about until they need it. And so many people need Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. Has all of this, I'm going to put on my rose-colored glasses, has all of this helped people better understand what Medicaid is, all these talks about, you know, the cuts and all the people that are going to be hurt? Or even after all of this, do we find that too many people don't know, don't care, and as long as it doesn't affect them personally, let Trump do whatever he wants?
Well, I've used this as a teaching moment on my show. I don't try to explain technically what the differences are, but what I say over and over again, you know, grandma and grandpa in the nursing home, a lot of them are there with the help of Medicaid. So those families might be getting a call saying, hey, you've either got to pony up X more $1,000 a month, or you got to come get grandpa and grandma and bring them home because our Medicaid payments have been cut off. Poor children, disabled people, you know, these aren't people, you know, who can, you know, as the Republicans, the reason they get away with that or try to get away with that insurance argument is because these Medicaid people are going to actually get jobs. So they're going to get insurance through their jobs. But the vast majority of people on Medicaid who can work are already working, and the rest of them can't. So I try to say it in a way that isn't just, well, you know, this is a theoretical bad thing. Grandma and grandpa are coming home. Grandma and grandpa, you better clear out a back room because grandma and grandpa are coming home from the nursing home because the nursing home is staying afloat with Medicaid. And if you live in a rural area, you may be driving an hour and a half to get to the hospital because your local rural hospital is going to close. I think that's what people can understand.
They do. Shameless plug, by the way, on the website right now, upnorthnewswi.com. There's an article by one Pat Kreitlow on there. Everything Wisconsin needs to know about Trump's cuts to Medicaid and Badger Care. It is Medicaid 101 for everybody in Wisconsin. Head over to the website and read it. Jim, as an attorney, you come from the king of jargon. And so, again, helping people understand all of these things. I mean, they're turning toward, you know, their attorney, anybody that can explain whether this is going to affect them or not. And I can only imagine what some of those conversations are like for people's private attorneys going, I don't know, I can write you a will or a trust, but I can't tell you what's going to happen to your Medicaid.
In so many areas, right? Medicaid, the future of the education department, right? All these things out there that affect people on a day-to-day basis. And the answer, whether it's stuffed inside a 1,000-page bill that members of Congress do not read before they vote on it, or if it is something else that is just, again, as we talked before, the floodgates of all of this happening, being reversed, being reinstated, it has become, again, no violin playing here at all, but it is a challenge for lawyers to be able to advise their clients wisely. Even in the immigration area, deportation, obviously that's a huge issue with respect to the process by which one becomes a citizen, may be deported, all of those kinds of things, hugely dependent upon what happens this hour, next hour. And again, when lawyers are also being attacked at the same time and cannot represent their clients well, it is a double blow.
We did not even get to Jennifer's most recent column, which talks about the New York Times sane washing that crazy West Point speech that President Trump made. So we'll try to grab that another time. But in the meantime, read her on Substack, Joan Esposito on WCPT, and Jim Santel tomorrow morning here on Amicus, a law review. Panel, thank you so very much for sticking around. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend.
It's a pleasure, Pat.
Thank you.
All right. Good to see you all. And one more time, our keyword this time around in the Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win contest is warm. You've got just seconds to get on that app and send us the word warm and be in the running for the prize this hour and for the grand prize drawings as well. Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Mike Clements joining us in the next hour here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.